And now,
this segment of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Women Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and Mayfield Florists.
Ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure,
direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
...the Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
Correct.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow
Please.
Us on Twitter.
Yes.
Like us on Facebook.
Do it.
And even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes.
That's right, Fred.
We also invite you to follow us on our weekly newsletter where we have... notes and such, talking about the people who are going to be on the show.
Wow.
And actually,
that's great,
I think
Fred.
At some point, one of our sponsors, you know, our we can't really offer coupons for some of our sponsors.
Sure we could.
For like Casa de la Luz.
Well, we could for a Tucson Appliance.
Maybe.
We could offer coupons for all the restaurants and...
Those guys...
The watering holes that support us.
Yeah, but they give us gift cards that we give out.
Well, that's true. But still, I mean, what's wrong with, something off somewhere at Pita Jungle or 1702?
Well, actually, you know, one of the things that I do integrate into the newsletter and on our Facebook page, once in a while we'll say the first person to contact us at such and such or respond on Facebook or whatever...
gets $1 million.
Or, more likely, a $25 gift card to either 1702 or Pita Jungle.
Yeah, do that today.
Well, okay. Well, we'll do it next week.
Why not now?
Well, because the newsletter doesn't go out until like Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay, well, but folks want to sign up for it now, so when they get it.
Well, you know what? You are, you have a minion, I think, that does the Facebook page. So
yes.
If you wanted to do that on Facebook today.
Okay, we'll do it on Facebook today.
Like, you know, the first person to like us on Facebook gets a $25 gift card.
How will we know if they're the first person to like us on Facebook?
Because in the admin section,
yeah,
it tells you who, it gives like the new people who like you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like your page.
Yeah.
So the first person who pops up on that section in the admin portion that's not viewable by the general public will get a gift card.
Welcome to the social media show starring Fred.
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
So Jeffrey, you know... last week we put our friend of the show, hero, icon of the community, Laszlo Varish, in a tight spot.
Poor guy.
We like just out of the blue, we said the first person to go to the pop show
and
tell Laszlo
or walk up to Laszlo and go, are the Zumba master.
Yeah, you address him as a Zumba master. They got to participate as a canon in the 1812 Overture.
And
he was a good sport and allowed us to do it even after we committed it to him.
That's
committed
true.
Him.
That's right.
He's like, oh, all right, in his accent. But
and I wonder how many people walked up to him and said that he was the Zumba master.
I was going to call him, but I was afraid to. He's like, damn you, Ronstadt.
You haven't heard that before.
That's true, but he would never say that.
No, never.
But he was a really good sport, and he thought it was funny, and hopefully one of our listeners got to be the canon. I will follow up and find out
Very good.
Who that was.
Very good.
But, you know, that's some of the fun things that happen on the show.
Oh, my God. So many fun things happen on this show.
Yeah.
Today, we got a big show today. We got all kinds of fun people to talk to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, you were sending me some stuff. At the Reed Park Demeester Performing Arts Pavilion, I guess it's now a pavilion versus a center.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
I don't have
because doesn't sense. A center have an inside?
No.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, Oreos have a center, and they're not necessarily on the inside.
But they're also not a building, you jack nut.
Well, this is it's an arts.
What's
center.
Your point, Fred?
Okay. Anyways, for several weeks coming, or yeah, several months, June, July, and August. Cox Communications is starting, or they have this Movies in the Park program.
Yes.
So the June 20th.
It's like the reason I sent that to you, folks, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we were lamenting the fact that Tucson doesn't have a drive-in theater anymore. And then that popped
well,
up
but,
into my
Yeah, it
in-mail.
Doesn't have a drive-in theater, but there is La Placita downtown.
Again.
Which is.
Mr. Literal Is that a drive-up theater, drive-in theater?
No, but neither is the Demeester.
I know, but it's an
Are you going to, like, four-wheel onto Reed Park and park your, like, SUV in front of the Demeester?
It's the act of going outside and watching a movie
Which you can
on
do
a big screen with your family. And you're right, Fred, you could do it at La Placita. But my point that I was making was we were lamenting that there's no drive-in theaters in Tucson anymore. And subsequently, that popped up into my email box, and I thought it'd be a cool thing to talk about.
Okay, then talk about it.
You just did.
Do you know what the lineup is?
Oh, the movie lineup?
Yeah.
No, what is it, Fred? I sent it to you.
Well, I'm glad I printed it out then. So June 20th, Friday, June 20th, is We Bought a Zoo, directed by Cameron Crowe and starring Matt Damon. Apparently, they buy a zoo.
Well, how many tomatoes did it get?
I did not look up the Rotten Tomatoes on that. But they're showing high-quality movies here.
High quality.
Well, at least they're going to be in HD, so.
That's high quality.
Yeah, so July 18th.
Yes.
How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Actually, the rest I've actually seen. August 1st, Chronicles of Narnia, Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Let's see, August 15th, Night at the Museum.
I think the point you're trying to make is there's a website they can go to check out the lineup.
I'm not aware of any website.
Oh,
it's not on the note. And August 29th is Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
That will be good times.
That was a really good one.
You know, most people, when they meet us, they think of me as Mr. Peabody and you of Sherman. And it blows me away because I'm the guy with the red hair. Or at least I used to have the red hair.
Oh, you're so funny. Yeah, I have the glasses.
Yes, you do.
And the intellect.
Well, let's not get carried away.
So, Children's Museum Tucson has so much stuff going on.
Oh, there's tons.
Actually,
it's summertime. Camps galore.
You know what we forgot? And I actually had this on top so I'd remember. Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Oh, yeah, Dad. Happy Father's Day. Fred, happy Father's Day.
Jeff, happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
So we're wishing happy Father's Day to 50% of our audience right now, Mom and Dad. So there is free admission for any one parent today at the Children's Museum Tucson. I don't know if you have to bring your kid or not.
But I guess
if you're a parent, you can go and have some fun.
I guess here's the deal: are you sending Mom down there with the kids so Dad gets to lay around on the couch all day, or is Dad going down there with the kids having a great time in the museum?
I don't know.
You can go either way, I guess.
Yeah, you could. Mondays is member nights, so if you're a member, you can hang out at the museum Monday nights from June 20th, 23rd to the 30th, from 5 to 7. Explore all the cool summer stuff going on.
Super fun.
And then May 25th through the August 31st, Science, Technology, Engineering, Arts, Mathematics, which is also known as STEAM. They have STEAM Sundays at the good old museum. And on the 4th of July from 12 to 4, there's going to be a special Kid Pendants Day.
Kid Pendants?
Kid Pendants Day.
I like that.
At the museum. Now, for more information, go to childrensmuseumtucson.org. I do know that one.
It's camp time, you know?
It is camp time.
Got to get those kids. You got the Triangle Y Ranch camp up in Oracle. You got the Boy Scout camp, Girl Scout camps. All kinds of camps rolling around here in Tucson.
Yeah, there are all sorts of camps.
Tons of fun stuff to do.
Okay, never mind.
What?
June 21st, Splash.
June 21st is the first day of summer, right?
It's the summer solstice. And
what would be another way to say that?
It's the solstice of summer?
Or the first day of summer.
Okay. I prefer the summer solstice because I love the pagan holidays.
Yes, we know.
So on the 21st is Splash at La Encantada. $25 gets you libations and food, fashion, entertainment, live art, silent auction, and it all goes to support somebody.
No.
What?
The Southern Arizona Arts Council.
Well, that's somebody.
That's a lot of good somebodies. That's very cool.
Hey, and it hasn't happened yet.
What?
And we haven't mentioned, we forgot to mention, actually it's my fault. Because I don't know what got a hold of me, but for the last 2 weeks, haven't said a word.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Bloom Night is coming.
Mm-hmm.
So the,
you know, I've actually been hearing commercials about Bloom Night.
Really?
Yeah, Tohono Chul is trying to get everybody whipped up in a lather to come down and
well,
see
Well, I've been
blooms.
Whipped up for about 2 months now.
Yeah, they're going to be beautiful, no question.
Yeah, so the night blooming cirruses are getting ready to bloom out at Tohono Chul.
Right.
And it's sign up at their website to get the newsletter, because when it happens, you will get probably about a 3-hour notice because it actually happens that fast. Once they go, they go. And it's just a wonderful evening. There's entertainment. There's things to do with the kids. There's our
yummy
friend
food at,
Jason Hardenbach
the
has his food stuff going on.
Right at Tona Chule.
Yep.
And then the last thing I have is, folks, cool new website you got to check out.
FriendJeff.com.
And cetucson.org. S-E-E, Tucson.org. Check it out. It has got some of the most phenomenal pictures of Southern Arizona. Brought to you by our friends at the College of Science at the U of A, ctucson.org.
Those guys owe us money.
Everyone owes us money.
Well, that's true.
All right, folks, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more here on The Fringe.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony Cigar Emporium, the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona.
Gosh darn awesome.
That's exactly right, Jeff.
And visit us on Facebook, Twitter,
blah, blah, blah.
Other social media. Sign up for the Facebook page. Win $25 gift certificates.
We need to have a meeting.
On
how we do this.
We did. Remember Dr. Ackerley told us what we should say?
Yeah, but
we've been doing this for over 4 years, though, Fred.
Yeah,
we
got to
come up with a new shtick.
And after 4 years, I think he should recognize that there's a pattern on how we do this.
I know, but I'm an anti-pattern guy.
Okay. Well, then you didn't learn anything from Dr. Ackerley.
I never
Dr.
learned anything.
Ackerley.
I didn't learn how to spike a ball in volleyball. I've not learned anything from Dr. Ackerley.
Well, I don't think that guy can jump like enough to spike
didn't
a ball.
Didn't you know that Ed was my volleyball coach back in high school? Did you not know this bit of trivia?
Why would I believe that?
Because it's true. It's true.
I can't see him playing volleyball.
He wasn't playing. He was coaching.
Oh, if you can't teach.
No, those that can't.
Those who can't teach.
Right. And that's not true.
And those who can't teach, teach Jim.
Which Jim are you talking about? Our dad?
No, Jim Young.
Oh,
So
anyhow, folks, welcome to the Fred and Jeff Show, where we love to talk about the people, places, events, history, and culture that make Fred laugh.
I just am amazed that after 4 years you can't get that right.
The people, events, places, culture, history. Is that not right?
No.
The events, that's your line. My role in this show is to screw you up.
Well,
welcome to the Fred and Jeff Show.
So, we want to wish everybody, all the fathers out there,
Happy Father's Day.
And we have, hey, Rob, you're a dad, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we have in the studio with us Rob LeMaster, who is the executive director of the Southern Arizona Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Close. Very close.
Okay, let's do that.
Southern Arizona director for Make-A-Wish Arizona.
There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
If I had taken notes, if I had paid attention to my notes, I would.
I'd like to make
say Arizona as many times as you can.
Arizona?
Yeah.
Well, we only have 9 minutes, Rob.
I know.
So what do you guys do at the Southern Arizona chapter of Make-A-Wish of Arizona?
Well, we grant the wishes of children with life-threatening illnesses.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. And didn't Make-A-Wish start in Arizona?
It did. 34 years ago, it was founded by five people who did a wish for a little boy in the Phoenix area who had leukemia, and he wanted to be he basically wanted to be Eric Estrada. He wanted to be a highway patrol motorcycle officer. And they got together and they did this wish for him, even made a little DPS uniform. One day he did the helicopter tour around the DPS helicopter, and the next day they found a small electronic motorcycle, and they put him through the motorcycle officer training, and they gave him his wings, and he is still, his name's Chris Gracious, And he is the only honorary DPS officer in the history of the state of Arizona. He did unfortunately pass away a few days later, but the five people that did it, including one Arizona DPS officer, said, wow, look at these pictures. We made his last few days really happy. We could do this for other kids. And when Make-A-Wish was founded, originally it was the Chris Gracious Make-A-Wish Foundation.
No kidding.
And it started, the second wish was Bopsy Salazar, who wanted to be a firefighter. So our first two, the unofficial, the founding wish was a police officer. The first official wish for Make-A-Wish was a firefighter. And within just a matter of years, the whole phenomenon went nationwide. And today we have 63 chapters in the United States, and we're in 38 foreign countries.
Wow.
And our national and international headquarters are in Phoenix.
You know, before our journey, I always thought of Make-A-Wish as kids going to throw the ball around with an athlete, or, you know, being able to go to Disneyland. But that's not really... That just kind of scratches the surface of what Make-A-Wish does.
That does. And we do send a lot of kids to Disney World and Disneyland, and the Disney people are awesome. I can't tell you. But 70% of our wishes involve travel right now. And I'll go ahead and throw that in. One of the things people can do for us, they say, oh, I don't have money. Well, a lot of us have little pockets of airline miles sitting around, and we keep that we're not using them, and we keep getting those letters to subscribe to more magazines. Well, donate those airline miles to Make-A-Wish, because they never expire when you donate them to us.
So you can transfer them.
And we can bundle them. For example, if you had 500 miles on United Airlines and Fred had 1,000 miles on United Airlines, and you both donated them, we would be able to bundle those and put all those together, and that's where we get our tickets from. So to us, that saves us money. It's just like making money.
Oh, that's fabulous.
It's just like you donating money. And with 70% of those wishes involving travel, even if they want to go throw the ball around with Brett Favre, they're going to go to Mississippi to do that. So they're going to travel. Or, you know, we have four kinds of wishes, since you brought it up, is I wish to go. I wish to go to Hawaii. I wish to go to Disney World. I wish to be. Sometimes those go together, because if a little girl wishes to be a princess, what better place to do that than at the Magic Kingdom and give them the full princess treatment? I wish to have. We've done a jet ski. We're doing a bat cave for a young man here in town. We did a backyard playground for a little girl in Marana, and I got to tell you that we had 25 Northwest Fire District firefighters work 7 hours to put this thing together, and and thanked us for letting us do it. I'd still be putting bolts. It was an amazing. They just came like an army and put this thing together. And the other sometimes a wish to have is a shopping spree, but then I wish to be, or I wish to meet, like Larry Fitzgerald with the Cardinals, or the Cake Boss, or John Cena, the wrestler, is one of our top.
John Cena,
people,
the wrestler?
He does more wishes than almost anybody else.
I guess that's the amazing, one of the amazing things about you guys is you could raise the money for a kid to go to Hawaii, or anyone could raise the money for a kid to have a backyard playground. But the fact that you guys actually have these relationships with these superstars and with the Disney people, you get these kids into areas having life experiences that nobody gets.
Yeah, there's a really cool book that just came out called Wishes Granted. And the author started off interviewing retired athletes about what they were doing in their retirement. And after the third athlete he interviewed, his whole focus of the book changed, because Michael Jordan brought up Make-A-Wish, and Brett Favre brought up Make-A-Wish, and then Kurt Warner brought up Make-A-Wish. And so 22 retired athletes is all about their interaction with Make-A-Wish. And as a matter of fact, we have two little boys from Tucson that just got back last night from a week at Disney World, and they were one of 10 kids, 5 from Arizona, 5 from Missouri, that, and since they're back, we can talk about it now, that Kurt Warner and his foundation and his family, they take 10 kids to Disney World on their dime for their wish. And they get babysitters for the parents. They let the parents have parents' night out, and they're all at Give Kids the World, and he's kind of under the radar with that. And he's come out of the radar because the books come out. That,
right.
That
but you guys help facilitate all
oh,
that.
Oh, it's a wish. It's through Make-A-Wish.
Some of these things are like really quiet and simple, but there's about, 6 months ago, maybe last year, when that little kid in San Francisco.
Oh, Bat Kid.
Bat Kid.
That was incredibly
Was Bat Kid
elaborate.
A Make-A-Wish?
That was a Make-A-Wish. And
amazing.
That was a phenomenon. Amazing. The week before Bat Kid, we had a Batman wish up in Phoenix, and a five-year-old wanted to be Batman, and there's a guy in Phoenix that actually owns one of the Batmobiles from the TV show. He bought it at Barrett Jackson, and he's created a Bat Cave, and he's done several wishes for us.
That's
and it
awesome.
It is so cool.
Rob, if people want to help Make-A-Wish, what's the easiest way to do it?
The easiest way to do it is to go to arizona.wish.org and click on Ways to Help.
Awesome. Thanks for coming in today.
Hey, I appreciate it, and have fun.
Thanks. All right, folks, we'll be right back with more here on The Fred and Jeff Show. This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and 1702 Craft Pizza and Beer.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And we invite you to visit us at friendjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this Tome of Wisdom and Entertainment off of iTunes. Now,
anywhere, actually. You know, friend of the show, Cindy Morrissey, called me up the other day, and she's got us downloaded on her phone, so when she's outside gardening in Pine Top, she's listening to the Fred and Jeff Show.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing that.
I love it.
One of my Sunday Night Poker friends...
Stinky? The one guy Stinky?
No, it's actually an older... A woman who we're very respectful of.
Yeah, that's definitely not Stinky.
Unless she draws out on us and then we call ourselves the bad things. But she and her husband download it and listen to it. It's really cool.
Sweet.
You know, we were talking to Rob LeMaster from Make-A-Wish, and during the break I was thinking about a wish I would like this half of the show, Jeffrey.
And let's hear it, Fred.
Tequila and cigar.
Hmm.
Can you make that happen?
I think I can.
Excellent.
Excellent is right.
So it's like, where is it?
Well, I don't have it now. You what do I look like, the genie from Aladdin?
Yeah, I want to have a little shot of tequila.
Yeah.
And a cigar, and I can sit here and smoke and drink, and we can finish the show.
We're in the studio. We can't smoke and drink in the studio.
What they don't know won't hurt them.
This is true.
That's my motto. Better to ask forgiveness.
Good motto. So do we have anybody we want to talk to today?
No, not at all.
Okay.
We just have to kill an hour, half hour right now. But we do want to wish folks a happy Father's Day.
I agree.
You know, when you nod your head like that, people can't. This is radio.
This is what I call the verbose Fred hour.
Okay. So anyways, we have with us in studio, and I think we're going to do this, start off with Tamara Mack. I always have to do the name of the thing. She is the mistress of the fox.
Thank you.
She in
the grand dame of the fox,
grand dame,
right?
Of the fox. Okay. And we actually have invited her for a different reason, but since you're here,
yeah.
What's going on with Fox?
Oh gosh, you know, it's good timing because tomorrow we actually announce our member only presale for the 2014-15 season. So we got lots of great shows, and it'll go on public sale next week. So I can kind of give you a sneak preview.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe, you know, maybe people want to sign up to be members.
Absolutely.
Well, you totally want to sign up to be a member of the
Yeah,
Fox.
You know, and members, it's $50, and you get advance notice of everything. You can get those, you know, better seats early. So there's a lot of good perks to it beyond the drink specials and all that.
I got to tell you something.
Ooh, I didn't even know there were drink
See?
Specials.
we went to Paula Poundstone a couple months back.
Yeah.
And I was literally the back row in the balcony.
Uh-huh.
It was a phenomenal seat.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think there's a bad seat in that house.
No, and I say it sounds like a line, but it's absolutely true. There is no bad seat in the house. Acoustics are amazing in there.
Yeah, it's great.
I would agree. I would totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. When my band played at the Fox years ago, You laugh away, but we opened for Poco at the Fox.
Yeah.
And the guys in Poco, the guys in the band, said the house was the acoustically the best house they'd ever played in.
Nice.
And Poco's been around for like 75 years.
Yeah.
Right, Jim? So yeah, it's a great sounding house.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
But yeah, lots of good things. I mean, we're going into summer, so we got some good movies. We got Rebel Without a Cause, Bullet, Meet Me in St. Louis, Tombstone this month.
Which Tombstone?
The new Tombstone. The Tombstone.
The awesome.
We like that
one. Val Kilmer and
absolutely.
Russell.
Yeah.
I'll be your Huckleberry Fred.
Yep.
that's a great movie.
That's a good one. Lots of good concerts. But the fall season, gosh, we've got Dwight Yoakam coming back. We're excited about Mavis Staples. We have David Sedaris.
Mavis Staples.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good one. We've got great comedy. We've got Mulcahy and Sherwood. We have Last Comic Standing. Some good community events. We're doing a lot of rentals now. Stand Up to Stop Violence is back. Mercedes Tucson Fashion Week is going to be doing a show at the Fox. James von Prague, who's a national psychic, is coming to do a workshop. So there's all kinds of things going on.
James Bond Prague?
James von Prague.
Oh, yes. James von Prague.
Von, yes, you got to have that von.
Yeah. James von Prague, interesting.
Yeah, but all kinds of shows. And then you classically, and Womack and Asia is coming.
Asia?
For classic rock.
Carl Palmer, is he going to be in that show?
I haven't heard.
The original Asia, four guys?
That's what we hear.
Oh, my gosh, I'm going to that one
for
sure.
You know, you always have to ask that question.
I mean, what?
Whenever you hear like an old band from the
70s, 80s. The Asia's an 80s band, you nuts.
No, but well, from the 70s, 80s, I mean, even in the 50s, you know, they'll come out, the Four Tops. He goes, but they sold the name to somebody else, and it's four guys doing
Four Tops
songs.
Right, like a tribute band.
Yeah, but so like our generation is out as the real guys, you know. Luckily it is.
Well, Fred, is, you know, when my band opened for Foreigner, we were concerned whether there was going to be the real Foreigner guys playing. And sure enough, the original members were there, and it was awesome.
Yeah, and they wouldn't let you talk to them either.
They wouldn't, those jack nuts. but then the drummer was from Supertramp. And I mean, so it's cool, you know, when you know your music like you do, it's cool when you get to see all these old guys come in because they're amazing musicians.
It's amazing that they can still stand, most of them.
A lot of these guys are burnt out a bit, you know, from the excess of the 70s and 80s. But now that most of them have dried out, they're back to square one, and they're making great music.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Oh, and their fans are loyal. I will tell you, we see some crazy, fun fans that come to these shows. And the members, of course, you know, when they're good members, they get calls and get a chance at meet and greets and stuff. So there's a lot of neat perks there.
So when is Asia playing? I got to know, but I'm putting that on the calendar right now.
Yeah, Asia's actually October 13th.
Nice.
So, yeah. So you can get those tickets if you remember this
week. Absolutely going to get those tickets. Thanks. Uh-huh. So lots of fun. You guys have really diversified at the Fox, from screening old movies, new movies, great acts, goofy community stuff. Like, you guys have had all kinds of great community stuff there. You had a CYT production there. You've had all kinds of people.
Yeah, we just did a prom, actually, there. We're doing a lot more of the rentals.
The
prom was, it was awesome. Kids had a great time, looked great. And
what did they dance?
We are able to take out some seats. We dropped the pit orchestra. We put in a dance floor, and they rock it out.
That's
a lot of fun.
Awesome.
That is pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah. So, and it was a 30s theme, so it just worked really well in the theater. And,
I think, you know what would be cool is having prom at the Fox. And then showing Carrie.
There you go. It crossed our mind. The way, my mind works. But
you know exactly what Fred got at his prom, don't you?
I didn't go. I went to the anti-prom.
Again, there you have it. That's why you want Carrie shown.
Yeah, exactly.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, my.
So, cool. So things are looking up at the Fox.
I'm the guy who rides my bike while smoking a cigar. I love a life of irony. It's fun.
Well, how ironic.
You asked a question.
I didn't ask a question. I was making a point.
Well, I put a sharper tip on that point.
There you go. So if folks want information about the Fox, they should go to?
Just the website, foxtucson.com. Super easy. We just unveiled our new website. Super user-friendly. And they can find out all kinds of great stuff and things they can do. They can rent that marquee. We have all kinds of receptions now.
You can rent the marquee?
Yeah, we did a prom invitation announcement. We've done a wedding announcement up there. They've taken photos. We did a reception on the stage. So there's all kinds of neat things people can do. Yeah.
That's very fun.
So you have to check it out.
You guys are really creative. That's awesome.
So lots of fun.
All right.
Are you still selling stars in front of the...
We will be. We're waiting for all the construction in downtown to get in a little more stable position, and we'll be doing a star unveiling, selling more stars, and doing all kinds of neat things.
Yep. Cool. So now, the real reason you're here. So, you know, one of the things that is great about Tucson is its artistic diversity.
Right.
And we've talked to other local artists, you know, musicians, painters.
Poets. Authors.
Yeah, all the whole nine yards. And eons ago when we were at another...
Sculptors.
I said that.
Yeah.
Station, of which we will not speak. But they don't exist anymore.
No, they don't, sadly.
So we can speak ill of the dead.
No, but we won't.
Your cohort, Scott Barker, who's here as well, was on the show, and we were talking about people who make movies in Tucson.
Right.
And at the time, I think, I may be wrong, but I think that Dead on Sight had just been released on DVD.
Right.
Well, we like to say that it wasn't released, it escaped.
Right. Yeah,
so, and that was, you know, my littlest son got to be a murder victim up front.
He was awesome.
Yeah, he died well.
He did. What?
So, and that was a really cool movie. So this is sort of a suspense movie.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys have been keeping at it.
Yeah.
And there is a huge, you know, it's sort of one of these things where you don't really get the scope of the amount of work that's being done locally in Tucson in the movie industry. I mean, we talked to Mia Schnabel over at the Screen Room, and there's some you know, local movies that roll through, and there's openings at the Loft usually. But there's people in general, I don't think, have a really big grasp of the local talent that's here. And obviously, you know, we have the big names come through, and, you know, movies will shoot here. But the amount
but that's
of,
kind of few and far between since they changed the tax code.
No, I mean, we still get stuff now and then.
Not like it used to be.
Well, yeah. Yeah, back in the day. Mm.
Yeah, there's a lot of indie stuff going on and a lot of young talent that comes through here.
You know, I was surprised. The Best of Tucson in the Tucson Weekly is going on right now, voting for the Best of Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of the categories were Best Local Actor and Best Local Actress.
Right.
I hadn't seen that before. So, I mean, I think that says a lot about the talent that's in our community.
Well, if you do a little bit of research, it's easy to find out that there are over 100 performing arts groups here, and many of them are theater related. So, for example, when we cast, we get a lot of people who have local theater experience. They've either gone to theater classes at the U of A or Pima or somewhere out of state, and they have that training in their background. Plus, we get a lot of people who are just love film. And want to get in front of a camera and see how it works.
That's very fun. Very fun. All right, folks, we got to take a last break of the hour, but we have more to talk about here on the Fred and Jeff Show, so come on back. I never meant to be so bad to you. One thing I said that I would never do. A look from you and I would fall from grace. And that would wipe the smile right from.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Estate Garden, the Flight Grill at Pima Air and Space Museum.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And we're also celebrating La Dia de los Padres.
Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, Pop.
Yeah, happy Father's Day, Dad.
So, in studio with us, we have Scott Barker.
From the what is it, the Bourbon County Barkers?
No, actually, well, we're actually from Michigan, like most people in Arizona.
Nice.
And Tamara Mack.
Hey. From Tucson.
Yes.
From Tucson. And they're actually very involved in the local movie scene. And have been producing, I'm going to try and pull this from the back of my skull, Madrosa Productions.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing stuff for a long time. And you guys have a little bit of a film coming up, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's more than a little bit.
It's a biggie. It's a biggie. And one of the things that we did with this one that we didn't get the chance to do with Dead on Sight is really make Tucson a character in the film. So not only is the scope of the film much bigger and far more ambitious than what we did last time, you get to see a lot of the community in this, which I hope really not only helps to sell the film, but helps to sell Tucson itself when it goes around to film festivals and various places that we play it.
And you mean sell Tucson maybe to other producers?
I think just to people to come here and see what we've got. I think there's nothing more amazing than when you show a film that really shows some interesting sides to the community, and people go, well, where did you shoot that? Where is that? You know, where is that building? Where is that street that we saw in that movie? And people want to visit and see that.
And so what side of town or what part of town are you shooting in that would intrigue folks?
Pretty much everywhere. We've been everywhere from, let's see if I can get this right, Tamara, from the the Tucson Mountains through to downtown, east side, central. We've been all over. And a lot of the icons of the city pop up. There are a lot of driving scenes where you'll see the dinosaur McDonald's and whatever. I mean, it's just, it is all about Tucson.
The meat rack, of course.
I was not going to say that.
I know, sorry.
That's cool. So did you have any problems with anybody letting you shoot where you wanted to shoot?
I have to say that the businesses in Tucson have been great. I mean, places like the U of A's Poetry Center opened their doors for us. The Loft Cinema did. Cervezas and a lot of great businesses just basically said, "Yeah, we'd love to have you guys. Come on down." And it's really been wonderful to have that kind of cooperation, because frankly we couldn't buy it. You know, we couldn't build the kinds of sets that you see in the movie and the kinds of locations that you see.
Well, tell us about the movie. What's it about? Well,
this is all you.
This is all me. Oh no. Okay. Basically, it's sort of has a feeling of Greek mythology to it. It's a good versus evil concept. I describe it to people as a hybrid between horror and martial arts, with a lot of martial arts in it. And really,
you made a kung fu movie in Tucson?
We made a kung fu movie.
Sweet.
Not just kung fu. We've got capoeira. We've got all kinds of MMA styles. We've got everything going on in it.
I love it. Okay, so who's our main character?
Well, Tamara is one of them, one of the bad guys. I'm happy to say.
Those are the fun roles.
It was totally casting her against type because she's a sweetheart. And I said, well, how would you like to play a vicious killer? And she's like, I'll do that. So, and we have Robert Linden is our opposing good guy. And basically the central premise to the movie is the idea that zombies are real, but they're not the living dead. They are a race of super predators that grew up alongside humans and eclipsed us. They're faster, they're stronger, and they prey on us. And they're walking among us right now, and nobody really knows it, except the good guys stumble onto this fact. And then there's two kind of parallel storylines as the bad guys are trying to track down the good guys and eliminate them before they can expose them to the world.
Sweet. Is this a full feature?
It's a full-length feature. We went all out for this one. Just the length of time that we shot, I think, probably tell you something. We've been in production now for over a year.
Wow.
And, yeah. So.
A lot of stunt work, as you mentioned, a lot of fighting. So there's a lot of shooting that goes into that, camera angles and...
Right.
And reshoot. So it's been a very tedious, long shoot, but it's been a lot of fun.
Now, is that sort of typical for like an indie local thing to take about a year?
Yeah, because in most cases, people are working full time. So it's sort of like you have to figure out ways to fit it into
work
your
calendars.
Schedule.
Yeah.
Right. And it's there's kind of a thing that goes on in the movie business. The less money you've got, the more time it takes. So we did this on a micro budget, and we did the only kind of film that you could really do on a micro budget, short of aiming a camera at a Barbie doll and a Ken doll and hopping them up and down, and which we considered briefly, but that didn't seem to be much of a you can't do much martial arts when they don't bend well enough.
You get the G.I. Joe with kung fu grip and you're made.
we looked into that, and his agent said no, so we had to move along and really. We even tried the Care Bears. They wouldn't do it. So, it was kind
Care
of...
Care Bear Kung Fu Christmas.
Care Bear, exactly.
That could be a great one.
Smackdown
that's awesome.
With My Little Pony. Yeah.
So, and what's the name of your movie?
It's called The Z, as in the letter Z.
The Z. All right. And where is it? Is it going to be screened anytime soon?
We're hoping to have a screening maybe late September, early October. And after we do the premiere here, and we may do more than one premiere, who knows?
Yeah.
Well, then we'll go out to the film festivals, the film markets around the country, and we really hope to even go international with this one. And I think there's a lot in there that people overseas might catch on to, because we have a very diverse cast, very multicultural cast, and a lot of wild stuff going on. And as I said, Tucson's a big part of it, and that always plays well overseas because, you know, they don't have cactus like we have. And so we're very excited about it. I think it could open some doors for us.
Oh, this sounds awesome. So without giving away any spoilers, give us one of your favorite scenes in your movie.
Ooh.
What do you think, T-Mac?
Well, let's see. You know, it goes back to some of those fight scenes, and we have a great showdown at the slaughterhouse that's just all out, you know, no bars.
Much fight. Of it was filmed at the slaughterhouse, and thank you, Slaughterhouse, for letting us do that.
Yeah.
There is one fight scene between a capoeira trained fighter and a guy with two meat cleavers going after him, so that's pretty intense.
Sweet.
Some spine ripping, you know, some head
shredding. There is spine ripping.
There is spine ripping. It's a good one. And lots of fun, crazy stuff.
So what's, like, this might be something you can't talk about, but how do you tell the difference between a zombie and a regular person?
You really can't until it's too late. You really can't until it's too late.
That's the problem, Fred.
And,
you won't know I'm a super zombie until I'm on you.
Yeah, right. And you know they don't vet for that in the internet dating sites or anything. So you're just
zombies want them to.
No,
but going to the dating site Z, it's probably
that's an offshoot marketing point. We're
right,
gonna do, right?
Yes. Come on in.
We
instead
would have
of what would you like for to eat for dinner? It's who would you like to eat for dinner? And
you guys remember that old Twilight Zone where when the aliens landed and they're bringing all the humans back to their planet
to serve man.
Yeah, and how to serve man? it's a recipe book. And
yes,
they go.
That was a great
one.
One
of the best Twilight Zones ever. And why did I bring that up? I don't know.
I don't know, but you know the whole concept for the film started because I'm a vegetarian. I didn't have to worry about being eaten.
Wow, that's cool.
Why do we talk about anything on the show, Joe?
Well, because we're, you know, it's the people, places, events, history, and culture that make Tucson and Southern Arizona such a great place to live, Fred. Right?
All right. Scott, you were talking a few minutes ago about taking this to festivals and,
yes,
that kind of thing. Maybe take a couple minutes and talk about that process, because it's always intrigued me when you shot Dead on Sight,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, we were out, you know, on the days that McCoy was filming, and I was taking a lot of pictures, and it was a great time out there. And his payment was, well, if we get this distributed and we get any money, you might get a check. And nobody cared. I mean, they were there just for the love,
right,
of it. But at some point, you want people to see this thing.
Absolutely.
And so what is that process? I mean, how do you, because it's just not like, you know, you make a movie and bam, it's on theaters. It's a work.
Well,
beyond just shooting it.
The distribution market has changed dramatically over the last few years, just like it has for music. And now there are a lot of options. There are a lot of internet-related options where people are doing streaming kinds of things where you pay and you can watch it on your computer or your mobile device, that kind of thing. We're looking into that possibility. But the film market itself still exists in terms of people taking films out to festivals all around the country, all around the world, basically. And just like we have here with the Loft Fest and the Arizona International Film Festival. And that's a really good place to screen because you can build up a fan base that way. People go onto their social media accounts and say, oh, wow, you got to see this film I just saw. It's really amazing. That's part of how you get the buzz going for it. So when you actually do have a distribution method, people want to see it. They want to download it. They want to buy a DVD or whatever you've got.
So a movie like Sharknado that was completely over the top, crazy fun.
Wait, that wasn't real? I thought that was a documentary.
We're in the desert. Right. So here they should probably call it Cactus Nado.
Right.
But a movie like that, it was probably a low-budget movie. You know, it was totally over the top. Do you kind of see yourself doing the same thing they did to try to build that cult following?
Well, we don't have the Sci-Fi Channel behind us, so unfortunately we can't do that. But, you know, we do have a lot of stuff that, that I think will grab attention. Zombies are still a big thing. Martial arts are always a big thing. One of our actors is a former undercover cop who's written a book about his experiences, so he's got a following.
You're talking about Jay Dobbins?
Jay Dobbins.
Sweet.
We have the brilliant Jay, who's very, very good, by the way, in this film. He reminds me of Dennis Hopper. He's got that kind of intensity.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. You're going to love to see him. I think there's a lot of different ways that we can stir up interest in it. And we're going to hit on all of them, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. So if folks want information about the movie now, where do they go?
Right now, we're putting up the website with promo. It's the zmovie.com.
All right. Cool. All right, folks. Thanks. By the way, guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah,
I really
awesome.
Appreciate having you on the show. Good luck.
Thank you.
We need it. Folks, another Friend of Jeff show in the can. Fred?
Yeah, remember to like us on Facebook today, right now, and one of you likers will get
a gift
card
certificate
to PETA Jungle.
Perfect. And we'll see you next week here on the Friend of Jeff show. The Friend Jeff Show is brought to you by our friends at Tucson Appliance, Unicom Graphics, and Architecture Design Group.